Good morning, honorable members and colleagues from Transnet and the officials of our committee. I take this opportunity to welcome you all after we have celebrated our Youth Day yesterday. Hope all of us were able to take part in one way or the other. Just to remind ourselves where we come from. Those of us who participated, it was really a good day and moment. Those who were not yet born in 1976, also, it was a good day for them because they went through the history. I was watching one of the channels. It started, you know, I was seeing it for the first time since ever. So I was really impressed to say, oh, this one they need to play it time and again so that our young ones can really learn and understand where we come from. Without wasting my time, I was looking for agenda. I'm told honorable members have got the agenda. I don't know our colleagues from Transnet, but we have only one item on the agenda. It's only your presentation. But before that, I would request we do a brief introduction from ourselves. But to be fair, let me start with ourselves. My name is Tipoli Tansituba. I'm the chairperson of the portfolio committee. Then I will allow honorable members to introduce themselves. We'll start with honorable Kwangwa at the far end.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Ngabo Mzikwangwa, a member of the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Narayan Singh, member of the committee.
Yes, Marine, member of the committee.
Good morning, I'm Zuki Lelien, a member of the committee.
Thank you very much. You can do the same from your side.
Morning, Madam Chair and Muzi. My name is Avi Naya. I'm the acting chief executive of Transnet Lightrail.
Good morning. I'm Raisi Belukure, group executive result management office in Transnet.
Good morning, honorable members and our colleagues. My name is Yabohan Dombe from Public Enterprises. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, and morning, Chairperson of the committee. My name, good morning. My name is Mohammed Khalid Sayed, and I'm the PLO in the Ministry of Public Enterprises.
Chair, how much fun is it?
I was about to think. Thank you very much. Do we have any apologies, Secretary?
Yes, Chairperson. The apologies was from Master Bailey, who is attending another committee meeting. Natasha Mazone, she will be joining us shortly. And Master Singh will be giving for the chief response.
Also, Honorable Kwangwa will be giving for the chief response. Okay, thank you very much. Without wasting much time, let me allow our colleagues from Transnet to do the presentation. I don't know who's doing it. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before I start, I also need to table apologies for Mr. Siyabonga Gama, our acting group chief executive. Unfortunately, he cannot make it to Maputo today. Madam Chair and committee, my colleague Rashida and myself will take us through a brief presentation in terms of our road to rail strategy in Transnet Freightrail, as well as the progress that we've made to date. And we'll also highlight some of the key challenges and some of the accomplishments as well. And towards the end, we would be very grateful for any valuable input that we can receive from this committee and comments as well. The presentation has the following outline. We need to give some strategic context in terms of Transnet as a group, as well as the market demand strategy and where it comes from. We will then look at rail performance. Thereafter, we will look at our road to rail journey. Then it's important that we share with the committee, Madam Chair, the commodity strategies. And then finally, the initiatives that we have going forward, and then, of course, the conclusion. On this slide here, Madam Chair and honorable members, We thought it was prudent to put up a slide that depicts Transnet and all the divisions within Transnet. On the port side, we have the Transnet National Ports Authority, as well as the Transnet Port Terminals. And then on the rail side, we have Transnet Engineering. And then we have Transnet Freight Rail. And then we have the Transnet Pipelines. And then supporting all the Transnet operating divisions, we have capital projects, we have the Transnet Foundation, for which many of you might be familiar with in terms of the Pelopempa train, we have Transnet Property, and then we have the Transnet Schools, one of which is the School of Rail. This slide here is an important slide, Madam Chair and honourable members. I think what is important about the slide is it takes us back to the history of Transnet Freight Rail from the late 80s going up until 2012. What is important about the slide is that you will notice, Madam Chair and honourable members, that Transnet Freight Rail tons and volumes were on a decline for many, many years. Honourable members have got the slide in front of them, so I'm not going to go through the details. But suffice to say, Madam Chair and honourable members, when the market demand strategy was launched in 2012, of which the main purpose was massive capital investments, investing ahead of demand, as well as the strategy to move additional tons on the railways in South Africa, you will notice that from 2012 onwards, the so-called death curve has been arrested and the tons started to improve. From 2012, 2013, 2014. The next slide is to talk about the fundamentals of the market demand strategy for Transnet Freight Rail. One is its catalyst for economic growth, because we will be looking at massive investments over 200 billion rand on the right side. The next one is job creation, which I will share later on, Madam Chair, with the honourable members. Then regional integration is one of the pillars of our strategy, and as echoed by our State President in the State of the Nation address. And then road rail freight industry imbalance to address the imbalance. And then, of course, reducing the cost of logistics in South Africa. And then to meet the freight demand and improve service delivery. In Transnet Freight Rail, we have six pillars for our market demand strategy. And our goal in 2020 is to be one of the top five railways in the world, to be financially sustainable, to provide integrated logistics services and not just the rail service, which I'll share later, to be innovative with our solutions that we provide to customers, to be an employer of choice, to have world-class customer service, and a gold-standard operations and capital execution. The pillars are as follows, and I'm not going to go through them in detail, Madam Chair, but just to share and highlight them. It is market development, and here essentially is to increase market share and to develop a customer-centric culture in the organization. The next one is operational efficiencies. We have seen over the past 3 to 4 years, from the time we've launched the market demand strategy, that our operational efficiencies in the railway division of Transnet have improved, and not improved, Madam Chair and Committee, the way we would like to see them, but as the new locomotives come in, we are sure that that reliability is going to help us improve. One of the key initiatives to improve efficiencies is we have launched Lean Six Sigma as a methodology in DFR to actually take up waste and to become more lean in terms of our efficiencies. Then, of course, is capital investment, and then I mentioned earlier regional integration. One of the major accomplishments on regional integration in the past 2 years, we have established joint operating centers with all of the neighboring railways, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Botswana, and Namibia, to make sure that we plan better and we execute better. And then, of course, safety is critical in our environment. And then central to our market demand strategy is our people and the enhancing of our people's skills, the development of our people, as well as to transform the business to be a high-performance culture. The next slide is our volume growth following the MDS implementation. You will see that from 2012 to 2014, in total in GFR, there has been a 4.7% improvement in volumes. But you see on the general freight side, which is where our road rail strategy is positioned, we grew tons by 8.6%. Madam Chair, at this juncture, the 2014-15 numbers, I have not put them up because they are still subject to being finalized by the auditors, and also we are in a post period where, unfortunately, we don't share those numbers. But you can see the improvement on the general freight side. There has been an 8.6% improvement in tons over those 2 years. The next slide indicates the real addressable market share, which shows that in 2012, what is it that we can capture, what is it that we targeted to capture. And I think the important thing on the right-hand side is, and I'll go through those very briefly, is developing bimodal technology. And by this, what we mean is, we will be piloting, Madam Chair and honorable members, in the next few months, a road rail solution. It is actually like a truck trailer that has rail wheels and rubber wheels. And it can go on rail and it can go on road. So at this juncture, I need to state that we have gone out to a tender. We have actually awarded the tender in the past 3-4 weeks. But no, it's a local organization, Madam Chair. And I need to say we're very excited about this because as a committee, I think it's important for us to share with you that we are not competing with trucks. We are collaborating with trucks at the end of the day. Trucks will do the short haul and we will do the long haul. The next one is building a commercial and logistics mindset beyond rail transport. So we are looking at providing services to our customers of clearing and forwarding, chartering of vessels, loading and offloading, and so forth. And then value propositions to meet specific customer requirements. We do understand here, Madam Chair and Committee, that we cannot have a one-size-fits-all for all our customers. All customers are different and they require different solutions. Building alliances to fast-track opportunities. One of those alliances is, for example, with Hollow World Logistics. Another one is with the BE company that just launched the first South African flag-carrying vessel, which is the only flag-carrying vessel in the country. So they will assist us as well as part of our strategy in terms of getting our commodities overseas markets. And then building market reputation through reliable and efficient service delivery. And then our rolling stock and network modernization program. And network is important, Madam Chair, because the honorable members will have heard us purchasing a lot of new locomotives to the tune of 50 million rand. But it's important that those locomotives run on a rail network that meets that standard and those requirements as well. So part of our strategy is also is to improve our rail network. The next slide, Madam Chair, is to talk about the heavy haul lines. I'll come to the general freight business just now. You will notice on the heavy haul lines in 2013-14, there was a decline on export coal. And that was mainly as a result of the world commodity markets that actually crashed. But the 2014-15 estimate, which the auditors are busy finalizing at the moment, Madam Chair, represents an 11.9% improvement year on year. On the iron ore manganese, we more or less static year on year between 2013-14 and 2012-13. But on the 2014-15 latest estimate, we're looking at about a 11.1% year-on-year improvement. And for the committee, Madam Chair, I think this slide is an important slide. This slide indicates the successes that we've had in transit freight rail, particularly on the mineral mining and chrome, which is a top left quadrant. That 18.5 million tons compared to 16.1 million tons represents a growth of 14.9%. With an economy that is growing at between 2 and 3%, that is clearly an indication of the traffic that we brought from road back to rail. And a lot of those successes, for example, Madam Chair and Honourable Members, we used to have about 4 million tons a year of magnetite that moved from Palaboa to Maputo. I'm glad to say, Madam Chair, to this committee, that in the past 6 months we've signed contracts and all of that has moved back to rail. So that's one of the successes in the mineral mining and chrome business unit in Transnet Freight Rail. You will notice on the agriculture and bulk liquids, it has been rather static. And those there are mainly customers that use our branch lines. And our branch lines, in the fourth quarter of this year, we'll be going out into the market to test the market for refreshing the branch lines so that we could actually arrest the declining tons on the branch lines. And then on the bottom right-hand side, Madam Chair and Committee, that is another success story. Our container and automotive business unit grew from 10.7 million tons when we started the NDS, 13.8 million tons, a growth of 28.7%. And that is due mainly to containers on the NB being moved from road to rail, as well as automotive. We're building new automotive wagons. In this financial year, we will build another 350 special purpose automotive wagons. And then on the bottom left side, marginal improvement of steel and cement. Although the industry has been fairly static, we find that the 2.3% is largely growth that is on the iron ore side, the domestic iron ore for the steel manufacturers domestically. And you can see from 12.7 to 13.2 million tons. And then move over to the container automotive business division, which is what we call our CAB business unit. And you can see on the left-hand side there how the automotive volumes on rail have improved from 2012 when we launched the NDS and our road rail strategy. You'll see between 2012 and 2013 a 20% improvement, 2013-14 an 8% improvement, which value gen committee is far higher than the actual growth in the economy during the period. So we're actually moving a lot more automotive units off-road and auto-rail. And on the container side, you can see that in 2012 and 13, we grew the business by 12%, 2013-14 by 22%. And the strategy on the container automotive business unit is we introduced what we call a superhighway, which is the network between Durban and Johannesburg and Durban, as well as the Cape Gateway and Kuka Express. And here what we did here, Madam J, is we started marketing directly to shipping lines. We looked at converting a lot of customers who had rail sidings and they were not using rail. We got them converted to rail. We've invested in City Keep. We improved the security of our containers drastically. We used to have containers being stolen previously while en route and even while they're stored. We also improved the safety of our crew. We implemented a crewing methodology called a crew book-off system, where the crew takes the train longer than they used to take a train before. They stay overnight in a very nice place, provides good meals. They're able to exercise and rest, and they're able to then bring back the next train coming in the opposite direction after they've actually had a rest. And then we reduced the average rest hours of time from 23 hours between Durban and Johannesburg, and Johannesburg and Durban to 8 hours. We reduced also short shipments to make sure that we run the cargo to the vessels and we don't have vessels running short shipments. And then improved planning where we implemented in Boston our national command center in Parktown, Johannesburg, which is a 24/7 facility where they plan and make sure that all our trains are planned run. They manage condition management and so forth. The next slide, Madam Chair, for the honorable members is the challenges that we've had with regards to our accelerated growth and our road-to-rail strategy. In particular, I think it's important to note, we've had locomotive failures. Because of our locomotives being very old, we've had lots of locomotive failures, but I'm glad to say that we're starting to see an improvement in the locomotive fleet. Our engineering division is working very hard to make sure that the locomotives don't fail, together with the fact that 150 new locomotives have already, from the 1064 that we ordered, 150 have already arrived, and another 350 will arrive this year, Madam Chair and Honourable Members. Wagon availability, we started a program with our engineering division to build more wagons on an annual basis, so we currently have a plan to build 3,000 odd wagons on an annual basis, just to make sure that as we grow the business, we have the wagons available. Our customer cancellations, Madam Chair, a lot of our customers have not invested in their loading and offloading equipment and on the rail line. And we started now to assist our customers to improve themselves so that we don't have cancellations from the customer point of view. The next slide talks about our road to rail strategy and our journey and progress. You'll see that in a nutshell, this slide goes from rail tons as a percentage of the total service tons on the bottom left-hand side from 11.7% to 15.7% in 2024. And rail accessible tons, in other words, the tons that we'll be targeting that are available, goes from around 27% to 46% by 2024. But essentially, this is a map of all the initiatives that we have in our journey, and I'll just touch on some of the key ones. In 2012, we used to limit ourselves to annual negotiations with customers. Now, in 2014 and 2016, we're looking at volume guarantees and longer-term contracting with many customers so that we have stability. We also, on 2012, initiated a project on a scheduled railway where we focus on passing our trains on time and making sure our trains arrive on time. And as you move towards from the left to the right side, you will see we'll start engaging with customers strategically. We went to implement in 2018 a program called Lead to Cash, so that we shorten the time from the time the new customer comes to us to the time the customer first train starts running, and so forth. Those are all the various initiatives on there. The next slide, Madam Chair and Committee. In 2013, as Transnet Trade Trade, as part of our MBS, we launched the six business units. And why we launched six business units was because we felt that the six business units will provide greater focus to our customers in terms of customer demands, customer requirements, planning of customer consignments, relationships with customers, as well as deviation management. But in a nutshell, on this slide here we talk about the core network, which is the green lines. The lines that are in blue are the lines that have been closed off over the years. The lines that are in black, one or two of them you'll find there, are lines that have been lifted over the years. And the red ones are the branch lines, which are indicated that in the fourth quarter of this year, we'll bring out the market, test the market in terms of positioning them. But essentially, this line shows on the left-hand side at the bottom, we have iron ore that runs from the Northern Cape from Sishen to Salana. We have manganese that runs from the Northern Cape to Port Elizabeth. And then on the next block there, we have iron ore that is domestic iron ore that essentially runs from the Northern Cape to the steel plants in Gauteng and in Newcastle. And then this slide basically informs the committee about the different commodities in the different parts of the country. I won't go through that in detail, Madam Chair. I think the other thing, Chair, is important is our commodity strategies for our route to rail. On the steel cement side, we want to grow our share of finished steel. A lot of the finished steel in the country is running on road. We are in negotiations with customers at the moment to set up a steel hub in the top of Johannesburg, move the steel from their plants to the steel hub by rail, and distribute it to Gauteng by road. The third essentially is the deployment of new locomotives, designing multi-purpose wagons, an integrated service offering, and making sure that we have industry and customer collaboration. On the container side, there's a little picture there. I don't know if you can see it on the left-hand side there. That is the trailer I mentioned that has rail wheels and rubber wheels on it that goes on road and on rail. When it's on rail, the rubber wheels are picked up. When it's on road, then the rail wheels are picked up, sort of like levers in it that pick them up and go down. It's very popular in Europe, Madam Chair, and also in the USA. And here we'll be looking at new locomotives being deployed on Cape Core, introduction of the bimodal technology, which is the road rail as I mentioned, a PSP's strategy for development of our terminals. If you first see some of our terminals, with the private sector partnerships in terms of developing it, collaboration with freight forwarding agents. On the automotive side, I mentioned we're building new automotive wagons so that we can continue capturing that part of market. And then on fuel and chemical side, we're looking at TSPs for specialized tanker wagons. They're very expensive wagons and it's very difficult to have commodities going in both directions. So when they transport fuel, only transport fuel in one direction, and the other direction they come back empty. So we'll be looking at refining our service offerings with them, providing logistics value propositions, as well as enhancing our sales offerings to those customers. On the agriculture side, when the new locomotives come into TFR, Madam Chair, and honorable members, we will be looking at having another 700 locomotives that we will need to deploy. When the new locomotives come in, they will free up 700 locomotives that we can actually deploy to the agriculture lines, like the ranch lines and so on. So that will provide a lot of locomotive power in those areas. With implementing our branch line strategy, as I've indicated, that will assist us as well, because when we concession them, hopefully the concessionaires will be able to bring back more traffic. Integrated service offerings and industry collaboration, like the grain industry and in the sugar industry. On the timber side as well, deployment of locomotives for running over trains. We currently run 75 wagon timber trains. We now be running 100 wagon timber trains, as well as PSPs, timber wagons, and also what we call swap bodies. And what we mean by swap bodies is where we actually provide a wagon that's flat, and the customer invests in the part of the wagon that goes on top of it, almost like a skip trainer type of thing. And that will be a lot easier because customers can preload that. When the train arrives there, they can just pick it up with the forklift or a reach stack and put it on the train. And then improving our cross-border traffic. We are very serious about the North-South corridor to improve our asset cycle time to reduce from 20 days to 6 days. And some of the new locomotives will assist us in doing that. And we're also looking to capture, we're currently in negotiations to move copper that goes from Zambia to Richards Bay to Durban to capture that by rail as well. On the manganese side, we continue to grow our current market share of over 90% on manganese. We deployment of additional locomotives to run 200 wagon trains. We're currently running 108 wagon trains there. So with the new locomotives, we're going to run 200 wagon trains. That will help us create more capacity on that side. On agri-sites, I've indicated Kalaboa to Kumatipot and to Mafuzu. We already have moved all of the traffic that is on road, we've moved it back to rail. And we currently run 50 wagon trains. We're looking at running 60 wagon trains, we're looking at running 75 wagon trains. And also on the Richards Bay side, we have run the first test train of 150 wagons from 75 wagons. So we are actually very confident that that will assist us in running all the trains, moving more tons to Richards Bay. On the chrome side, we currently run 75 wagon trains. With the deployment of the new locomotives that we already have deployed, the 43 and 44 class diesel locomotives are already in service. And we'll be running those trains from 75 to 100 wagon trains. And then also development of a common user facility. We have many chrome customers who do not have railway sidings where they can load onto rail. So we're looking at, for example, in the Rustenburg area, there's a facility there that we have called Tendori, and in the Stillport area at the station to create a common user facility where they could chuck in the chrome, and then we will then load it onto long trains. On the Eskom side as well, we work very closely with Eskom in terms of collaborating and moving Eskom's tons from road to rail. We have a team that sits daily with Eskom and plans daily with Eskom in terms of all the coal that needs to move by rail into Eskom power plant. And we've come with very innovative solutions at Fortley and Camden and so forth by putting coal into containers and moving it to those power stations. And then on the waterborne coal side, we did focus on the Waterberg because the Waterberg is a key initiative for Transnet Freight Rail and our market demand strategy, because we want to turn the line between Waterberg and Ermelo into a heavy haul line, because that will be where Adam Chair and all members, the new coal will be sourced in the Waterberg and the Barlight area. The next slide, I think, is important. It talks about creating the fundamentals for logistics development and rail migration. On the locomotive side, I mentioned earlier the new locomotives coming in. The dual voltage locomotives, AD and DC, will take up 4 hours of running time of the train, 2 hours in each direction. So they don't have to be changed. When they run on our AC network, it can be on AC. When they run on the DC network, they can run on DC. On the wagons, I've mentioned about common wagon taxi, which is a spot bodies. On the infrastructure side, I've also mentioned about the upgrades on the infrastructure network. Development of our terminals, common user facilities, that is what CUF stands for, and distribution hubs. Technology and systems, the bimodal rail technologies, I've mentioned that as well. Customer siding development and how our customers maintain and manage their siding, load and offloading equipment, logistics alliances and logistics skills development. We can be working with a number of very highly acknowledged logistics schools to up the skills of our sales and marketing people so that they can provide innovative solutions for our customers. And then I mentioned North-South corridor development, where we've already implemented joint operating centers with the neighboring railways. And then, of course, real estate development. We have a lot of real estate management on board members. So we're working with a number of customers to turn some of that real estate into logistics hubs. Like I mentioned, the steel hub in the south of Johannesburg. We're also looking at a cement hub in the Potchefstroom area, so that a lot of the bag cement coming into Gauteng uses our own warehouses that we have that we've discontinued using over the years. They can store it in, and we can distribute it into Gauteng, for example, by road. And then system development, We have already piloted a track and trace system. Our customers can log on to the web and check where their commodities are going, and hopefully that will be rolled out by September this year. This is just a slide to indicate, Madam Chair and honourable members, I mentioned the Blueprint team. I did not mention, sorry, but in Blueprint team we are now containerizing manganese, and that containerized manganese in Blueprint team is going down to the port of Port Elizabeth. I mentioned the Pendoring multi-user facility for chrome. This slide is about our terminals and common user facilities and hubs to improve integration and service to customers. In Lohatla, we already have an operator at Lohatla that's loading manganese onto our trains. In Newcastle, we're looking at coal and ferrochrome as a hub there. And also in Newcastle, we're looking at the Contrail automotive business unit multi-user, multi-product facility, because we have a lot of mining commodities that come out of those areas. This slide indicates where the new locomotives are going to be deployed. The 22Es and the 44Gs are going to be assembled in Pretoria. The 23Es and the 45Gs are going to be assembled in Durban. And management, this shows that the new locomotives are going to be deployed across the network to ensure that our tonnage growth is maintained. With regards to our Back to Rail initiatives, or some call it Back to Rail initiatives, already 15-16, we've identified a further 18.9 million tons that we can move from road to rail. We are currently in negotiations with customers on that. Some of those tons are, for example, the 2 million tons copper on the north-south corridor. There's chrome that is going from Rustenburg to Liechtenstein by road. But some of the chrome customers don't have railway sidings, but we're looking at coming up with a common user facilities for them. We also have some chrome, for example, that's also running to Maputo. Let me conclusion, Madam Chair and Committee. Rail growth is a catalyst for economic growth and development, without doubt. If we can create, as we are doing, the capacity of rail, we'll grow the economy, we'll make the economy more competitive. We will unlock regional growth and integration. My colleague here, Raisibe, heads up one of the initiatives that we started in Transnet called TDCC, which is the Transnet Value Chain Coordinator, where all the Transnet divisions align themselves with customers in a single supply chain initiative to improve turnaround times, loading, offloading, volumes, and so forth. Creating jobs and building skills. I think it's important to note for this committee, when we launched the MDS in TFR, we had 25,338 employees. Today we have 29,666 employees, a growth of 4,328 employees. And also our GITs, where young graduates are given opportunities in the business, that has grown in 2012 from 96 to today 175, which is an additional 79 young graduates that we've given training opportunities to. And that talks about creating jobs and building skills. And then, of course, leading the sector transformation, which is the transport and logistics sector in the country. We see that as TFR playing a big role in leading the transformation of that sector. Madam Chair, my voice is now picking up on me. I want to thank you as a committee, and we look forward to your questions and your suggestions and your valuable input. Thank you, Madam Chair.
No, make sure your voice stays there. Okay. Because you need to answer some questions. Honourable members, here's the presentation. Before we can... Are you still going to present? Oh, no, it's not. Okay. I was thinking we'll take all the presentations. Here we are, honourable members. Let me begin with Honourable Sedi. Not Sedi, Honourable Lienge, and then we'll go to Honourable Mare and then... Honourable Fanda. And we also want to welcome Honourable Ranto. We are sorry that we had to start before you arrived.
Thanks, Jefferson, for giving me this opportunity to be the first one to shoot at this presentation. Safe to say what we expected from Transnet as one of the institutions that we are proud of, and we have experience of an organization which at the time we had some instance it was utterly appalling, and introduced, but then turnaround strategy culminated to the MDS, which we say now is MDS. Is actually a catalyst for our economic growth. This presentation is actually attesting to that there is always growth at Transnet. But my word suggestion is new innovations after what transpires from Transnet. We know of Transnet being an institution that is urban biased because of its capacity to deliver. But if that delivery has got something to do with water, anywhere in the country you will find water, then the urban biasness of Transnet. When we did raise this issue of the expansion of the mandate, even through a social responsibility kind of, not necessarily through the other change of the mandate of Transnet, taking care of the small ports that we have in the rural areas, your coffee beans, your ports and rowances, or, you know, when you talk of Johannesburg, Johannesburg, Bloemfontein, Durban, and then your rural would be Islandan and Port Elizabeth. This is not enough. And then you go to Northern Cape. How best can you, Transnet, be innovative enough and say, yes, we have grown, we know. There is no point of you motivating on that part. But to be innovative enough and reach to the rural poor of our country, which is the majority of the border population, just in terms of your job creation, you are contributing. But if nothing happens in the rural areas, this road to rail, because as a rural boy originating from Kliditi, when you talk of a road, you might be referring to your national roads, the big ones. But when you talk of a road to me, I'm thinking of my own rural road where I know that you cannot even drive a truck. But you do have your timber stations where those big trucks, once they come, they wash away everything that was there in terms of infrastructure. Then even to the appeal that I'm making, even if it's true, your social responsibility, please consider the rural nature of our country. Put them on board. Yes, there are departments and everyone else with mandate. It's 21 years now into our democracy. We cannot look upon something that has not happened. A lot has been done, but we can do more if we are more innovative enough and make use of the institutions that are economically viable, like your Transnet. You are doing a lot, even on social responsibility, but go further and complement these other institutions that are ailing Kulu. No, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I first want to start off with the automotive wagons. That is really good news if you can actually see it sign contracts coming your way. Because, like, I would say, this is like quite a heavy truck on the road. You can see it everywhere. I think previously the problem was, like, maybe the handling of the new cars could be problematic to often unload, because if a new car in the population, then nobody wants to buy it. So I think that if there's new wagons you use as well, I suppose new wagons as well, that maybe addresses those problems. But I'm very particularly interested in your special wagons. It's going to be interesting to see them, so you can invite us. We would like to come and see them when they arrive. When that contract, when is the date that you expect the first wagons to arrive? Because this will give a new dimension to the BROC philosophy in terms of moving stock. But being said that there would be still some stock that will be coming on the rail that people still have to pick up, that will not be applicable to these wagons when people want to actually go directly. And always they would have complained years ago against the Transnet that the turnaround time for the moment that the train stop until the stock is moved to wherever it is, that offloading and unloading, that was always a problem. I think if you can really smooth that up, that would be a really great marketing strategy for you. Then I'm also interested in your slide, it's by the page 19, I think it was like the fourth last one. Yeah, thank you very much. Can you just give me an indication on the left hand side? I'm particularly interested in that black line running from Baton to Saldana. What is that? What are you going to move there? I understand exactly from Shishan to down to Saldana, but the one from Baton to Saldana. What is your... We all know there's an industrial development zone now actually declared, and we're moving forward with that to put in Saldana here just behind the port area. But what do you envisage that link there, please? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Jim. I just simply like to say that it's quite refreshing to have a state entity before us that seems to be performing quite well. So congratulations on that. I have two questions. The first one is about the infrastructure maintenance backlog on rail. Last year it stood at 30 billion, and I remember an official informed me last year that it had been reduced. So I don't know if you could give me a figure of how much the maintenance backlog has been reduced by. And then my second question relates to the times when freight is transported on rail. I've been informed by some people that when freight is transported on rail at peak times, it causes derailments and delays of commuter of major rail. So I want to know what times freight is transported. Thank you.
First, apologies for arriving late, Sir Preston. There are things that you cannot control. I just put down where we stay.
I've got general questions that I think involve the economic development of our rural area. Maybe it's part of what Honorable Luyenge has touched on. My first question will be, let me say yesterday we have in my constituency, we had June 16th yesterday, and we asked the youth to open up to their challenges in groups. The common challenges that they have had is skills development. And there is no railway line or anything that is of that sort that come near to the area. I just want to know, how do you involve the children that are staying in far rural areas who have no access to places like Bloemfontein, Durban, and Gauteng, but they want, the others have got skills that natural skills that they want to develop, but they don't know where to go. How do you involve those schools that are, or what is your relationship with schools and basic education? There's another issue here of buildings. When one goes around places like Utnik, Piplat, there's a place called Piplat that has a railway station. It's very small. It's in the Eastern Cape, towards the Western Cape side. It used to have a railway station, a big railway station, but the team will come from PE, go through that station to Cape Town. There are buildings there that belong to whoever. Don't know Transnet or whoever, but what is your intention, or what do you do with those old buildings that belong to you? Because I think there are things that are being built, new buildings that we have, old buildings that we have, and new buildings that are being built on top of what we have already. If there is any relationship with the municipalities that are around those areas, where you can involve the municipality of that area in maybe selling or that hiring or the that building, what is the issue there? Because the other issue is the saying that says, no, this does not belong to us, it belongs to somebody else, and the somebody else will also say, no, it doesn't belong to us, it belongs to Transnet. There are those discussions that I would just want you to share with us what is happening on those issues. The last one, Chairperson, is the load that goes from off the road maybe to rail. Your bilaterals maybe with big businesses, which I think those big businesses that use trucks with heavy loads on the road, do you have bilaterals with them? And if you do, how far are they? Do you have also bilaterals with the Department of Transport in helping to take those heavy loads from the road to the rail? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Before you can respond, let me also pull the question. Mine is in relation to the regional intervention. If I heard you properly, you mentioned only four countries, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Namibia. So I just wanted to check, why are you not able to cover the whole of SADC? And in addition to that, in line with the government's pronouncements of the regional integration in relation to infrastructure in general in the whole of Africa, 2 weeks ago, the World Economic Forum, the main focus was on infrastructure. What is Transnet's position in relation to that? Now, the other question is in relation to the branch lines which are closed. The Department of Transport identified a number of them. I think 3,350 kilometers of those who are closed. And if you, I didn't pick up in your strategy, how are you going to fund if you are able to revitalize them? And if you revitalize them, at what cost? And will they be revitalized? Because I think when the department identified this, the main thing was to make sure the rural economy is activated through those lines which are closed. Those are my two questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair and honorable members. I'm going to try and respond to as many as possible, and Rashida is going to help me, my colleague. Not in any particular order. The automotive wagons that the honorable member mentioned that we are building, these new automotive wagons, we stopped the need to build them, Madam Chair and honorable members, because the profile of vehicles being manufactured in the past 2 to 3 years has changed. So the previously we had a lot more smaller vehicles. We now have SUVs and MPVs and all those kind of things. So that's the reason why we're building these different type of wagons, to cater for the new profile of vehicles being manufactured. The specialized wagon, which is the road railer, we anticipate that to have the first prototype up and running in the next 6 months. They can bring it imported from overseas, and let it run quicker. We would prefer we build it here, Madam Chair. And we create the jobs here and create the capability here. We will rush to have it quicker, but we won't be able to create the jobs here.
Do we have the capacity?
Yes, Madam Chair. Our Transnet Engineering builds us wagon at the moment 3,000 per annum,
and they currently have a specification of that. We're negotiating with a company that we ordered the tender to do the pilot, to give the work to our Transnet engineering division, to build 3,000 wagons a year. So they have indicated that they have the capacity and the capability to build this type of wagon, the road railer one. Yes, man. Yeah, it's the one with the rubber wheels and the rail. and then I think on the turnaround time, I think on the loading and offloading, I think one of the challenges we have there, I think, Madam Chair, is yes, we are perfect. Whilst we've improved, but we still have an old locomotive fleet that fails all the time. And although we've moved traffic from road to rail, we want to target the more FMCG market, which is a huge opportunity for TFR. And that we are going to require the new locomotives to help us with that reliability, because the FMCG is time sensitive. You know, Madam Chair and Honourable Members, they, you know, the white goods, you know, the TVs and plasma TVs and fridges and all those things, that's what we want to target. The Cape Town to Saldanha line, that line is actually, the traffic that goes on that line is actually the coal that goes from the coal fields to Saldanha Steel. It's a very important line for TFR. So that's why we need to have good locomotives on that line. It's a real coal that goes to Saldanha Steel. And also the steel company that exists there, which I don't want to mention the name, they also have given us the steel that was on road, that they move steel from there to Van der Bay Park. So that's why that line is very, very important for us, Madam Chair. Then the Honourable Member asked a question around the infrastructure backlog. Yes? In fact, infrastructure backlog is over 40 billion. I would say, Madam Chair, that in the past 2-3 years, it's been reduced to around about 35 billion. Because it's two things we're dealing with here, Madam Chair. One is we are doing normal maintenance, then we are addressing the backlog, and we are doing capital investments. So the capital investments in the last few years have been huge. In some areas, the backlog is addressed by capital investment, because the backlog is so great, you can't actually do the maintenance, you rather just do the capital investment. An example is, Madam Chair, we used to replace in the past 3-4 years 400 kilometers of railway line a year. We are now, from this year onwards, going to replace 1,500 kilometers of our network. Actual replacing line. So that is part of the backlog in terms of maintenance of infrastructure. The TFR and Metrorail, we've got an agreement with PASA, Madam Chair, that they run trains in the morning peak and in the afternoon peak, Monday to Friday. And in between those peaks, Madam Chair and Honourable Members, we run freight trains. But we also try not to run freight trains past a Prada station. We keep our service design away from the commuters as much as possible. I think the other question that was asked was, Madam Chair, was the building in Klipak. Yeah, I would have to look into that, Madam Chair, because I'm not sure whether it is a Prada building or a Transnet building. But I can respond to our Honourable Member and mention that a lot of the building that we've had in TFR that were unused, we have worked with local municipalities in some areas to create training centers, informal training centers, and so on and so forth for trades and trade people and that type of thing. But I think it's something that we acknowledge, that maybe we need to work more close with municipalities, maybe give them a list of buildings that we are not using, work with them and say, can you create maybe a woodwork training center, you know, a artisan like boilermaker training center. I'm sure there's a lot of room for improvement in that area, Madam Chair. And I'll take that back to our leadership in Transnet. I think the one that you mentioned, Madam Chair, on the Honourable mentioned on bilaterals. We do have bilaterals with all our customers. We have agreements with all our customers. But I think customers, Madam Chair, whilst they are committed to moving their traffic on rail, due to the past 2-3 years,
they themselves have been downscaling, and wherever they can get a cheap deal, they will take it. Even if it's for 2 or 3 months, they'll take it. Many of the customers have done that. In the past, we built wagons for customers, and when there was surplus truck in the country, they moved their commodity to the trucks, and now they've come back to rail. So we have bilaterals with customers, we work with them, and we work with the DOT. But as far as that, I think our position is, we don't want to comment on any legislation around trucks. We want to earn our bread through providing good service. And let's put it that way. And then on the regional integration, Madam Chair, yes, I only mentioned those countries where we set up the joint operating centers, but we're involved with the Southern African Railway Association that covers the whole of SADC. And in fact, we brought the Southern African Railway Association of all the countries in SADC to South Africa 4 weeks ago for a conference on how we can improve tons on all our corridors. And these are countries, Zambia, Angola, like Malawi, DRC, or in fact even some of the ministers attended this conference to look at how can we plan better our investments, how can we plan better the running of train services and improve on them and move traffic from road to rail, because Madam Chair, even if you go to Bay Bridge, you will see the number of trucks crossing through there every day. It's just a lot of them. And then the other one is on the DOT. Yes, you're right, Madam Chair, on the branch lines. We have in the past year kept a number of branch lines alive and spent an amount of 400 million rand just to maintain them and keep them alive, so that as we move towards testing the market for concessioning, we don't want when we get to that stage that the lines are then so dilapidated that nobody can even use them. I think, Madam Chair, I dealt with the easy ones, but I think the difficult one is, and I don't know if my colleague Rakive can help me out of this one, is, yes, indeed, Madam Chair and Honourable Members, the question around rural economic development is a fundamental one. And I think it's a very, very important one. Where we do have railway lines that pass through as TFR, we have activities in some of those areas. But in other areas, I'm sure, Madam Chair, that we can be innovative and creative and come up with more longer-lasting solutions. Even ports, as well as Honourable Members mentioned about Coffee Bay and other smaller ports. I think rural economic development has got to be something that we're going to work together with yourselves, as well as the Department of Public Enterprise, and say, how do we get to have more development taking place in the rural areas as opposed to the urban areas? I don't know, Nancy.
Thanks, Ravi. Yeah, let me support what Ravi is saying, but also indicate that the branch line strategy, the concessioning of the branch line, probably presents one of the immediate opportunities for us to improve rural economies. In that, if you think about it, it's not just the operation of the line, but it's the processes, the activities leading to the transportation of that freight that will actually grow the rural economies. I'm talking about agricultural revitalization, the setting up of cold houses, cold storage houses in rural areas. That in itself will begin to spur the rural economies. So I think from a Transnet point of view, you know, the branch lines strategy implementation is going to go a long way to revitalizing rural economies. But other than that, we also have a lot of initiatives happening in Transnet Foundation, in the TSI component, and I'd like to touch on the point around basic education and how we get involved in upskilling young people and understanding what Transnet is about. In fact, I'm aware that our foundation actually selects a few rural schools. They have a sports development program for starters, but we're also trying to see in what way we can involve rural youth in training opportunities in Transnet. For instance, where we have the maritime schools, in fact, all the schools of Transnet, where we expose the youth to the different opportunities that are there in Transnet. So I think, broadly, you know, there are interventions. They may not serve each and every small area, but certainly I think much is being done, and we take the point that we need to continue to be more innovative beyond the core business of Transnet. In other areas as well, like property, I think presents another opportunity really, where we manage to do what we did in the app, and how we can then, you know, take some of those learnings and begin to do the same in other areas. Thank you.
Honourable members, we still have more questions. Yes, Honourable Fellow.
Just to follow up to the maintenance backlog question, I'm not quite sure I understand your reply. So I submitted a parliamentary question last year, and we were told that there's infrastructure backlog, for example, the rail track for 13.9 billion, port terminals 349 billion, signaling 11.7 billion. So what you're saying by, what do you mean by saying that you are not focusing on maintenance but rather on capital investment? So are you saying, are you leaving the stuff that is not in working condition alone and spending money on new infrastructure?
Madam Chair, I don't think I answer that. No. Let me try and express it more clearly. No, we are not ignoring maintenance. What we're saying, Madam Chair and Honourable Members, is in some cases the backlog maintenance on some of the lines are so bad, instead of us maintaining the line, we rather replace the line. That's why our replacement line replacement program has gone from 400 kilometers a year to 1,500 kilometers a year. So no, we will definitely not ignore any maintenance on the rail line. In some cases, it is so bad, the backlog, that it is better to replace it. Thanks, Madam.
Thank you very much. Any more questions?
Oh, okay. Maybe only part of the development, because the Department of Public Enterprise has an obligation to maybe support some initiatives over and above the mandate of LDTs. So on issues that are actually overarching, as the core mandate of an LDT, at least the department must also bring on that. Thank you.
Maybe before the department can talk, Ravi, I just have one concern in relation to the collaborations or the relationship with Praza, because you are in the same space. They also have a strategy to move people, you'll move goods from road to. They also want to move us from road to there. Where do you converge? Is there any convergence? I'm raising this because the issue of locomotives as well. They had a separate program than Transnet. Now, where do we match? And how can we make sure we collaborate?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's a very, very important question. I'll share, Madam Chair, with yourself and the committee. We work extremely, extremely closely with PASA on a day-to-day basis. We have PASA people that even sit in our National Command Center planning trains, executing trains, so that we don't infringe on their periods and they don't infringe on our periods. From a technology point of view, Madam Chair and Honourable Members, the locomotives that PASA buys for transporting people is different in power from the locomotives that we use for transporting goods. However, there are certain technologies that we do share with PASA, like safety technologies and all those kind of things. We actually have a high-level task team between myself as the acting CEO of TFR and the PASA CE, Mr. Mozengwa Mofi. And then we also have a technical committee that sits between ourselves and PRAZA that share these ideas. So, Madam Chair and Honourable Members, when we go out to invest any money in capital, we table our investment and needs at those committees. Now, there are some areas where we have common technologies, like the signalling system is a common technology in PRAZA as in TFR. Because the train may be different, the locomotive may be different, but it's running over the same signaling system. So in those areas we have standards that we have jointly agreed on with TRASA, those joint standards that we commit not to deviate from. We can invest in separate ways, but the convergence is that is the standard that we both use at the end of the day. And wherever possible, we also, from training and development point of view as well, we also have joint training sessions with TRASA. So for example, in the past year or two, we have had some TFR people go to TRASA and help train TRASA people on safety, on how to execute safety in railway operations, and so on and so forth. Thanks.
If I can, if I may, to you, extend the contribution from Ravi, and also indicate that there are also engagements between Transnet and Vata in relation to properties. You would, you know, in pursuing that strategy, Brasa would require properties in railway stations that would have previously been in the Transnet state when the Brasa divisions were part of Transnet. So there is a process to then engage on the transfer of the facilities to Brasa, because that will also enable them to support their strategy, because they want to revitalize the stations and make them like what we have in the airport, you know, malls, and you know, really make a hub of activity. So there are also those collaborations, those discussions that happen between Transnet and Brasa in support of their objective. And I think on our side, the benefit, of course, is that we then do not need to carry the holding costs of these properties. So overall, there's common benefits for both entities.
We appreciate that type of collaboration, if it's said, because we were worried to say maybe there isn't. Honorable Mazoni, welcome. And we want to really sincerely apologize for starting the meeting before you arrived, and you are all on a lighter note. That's on a lighter note. But now, lastly, the agricultural thing is one of your strategies. We met with, what is it, Food South Africa some time ago, but not as a committee, as in our constituency. They are not very happy about the support they get from Transnet in relation to transporting the produce. So we agreed that we will invite them to the committee. They make the presentation and together with yourself, and we will arrange a meeting to go and see those areas where they are not happy with. They had a sense of concerns. And they were saying if Transnet does not come on board, then the economy, their contribution to the GDP is going to fall down. So we, not long, we shall be inviting you to that presentation together with them, so that we are able to answer to one another. Thank you very much. Department, you want to say something?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and honorable members. I think, first of all, we appreciate the comments and the inputs that actually have been coming through. But in supporting Transnet in the successes that they've made and the contributions they continue to make in our country, it's also important just to note a few things and also have some few comments on the questions as well and the inputs that honorable members have made. First of all, I just want to start by collaborations, and I would say that the Department of Public Enterprise continues as well to work with the Department of Transport on a number of issues, including the blind time revitalization process, because it's one of those remaining things which also affect the rural development processes. So we're currently looking at identifying and finalizing those branch lines that will be mainly to target those key developments in rural areas specifically. Honourable members have raised development in rural areas, not only being biased on urban areas only. And in those rural areas, we're working together, DOT, which is the Department of Transport, Department of Public Enterprises, and Transnet, to identify those areas and to be able to have meaningful branch lines that could be revitalized and have possible impact in terms of addressing poverty, unemployment, and those skills for people living in those areas. And I think it's also important, Madam Chair, to note again to say, Transnet through its corporate social investment have done quite a lot. And in what they're doing, it's also called to the other SOCs within the portfolio of public enterprises. So they, how then do we work together? I would also bring to the House that we've held a number of career exhibitions with all SOCs and with the likes of Transnet and its divisions to a number of provinces whereby we identifying those skills where we could uplift skills, and not only in urban areas, but we try by all means to reach out to even rural areas. And I can also assure the members that we continue to identify further areas where we could reach into and help those having exhibitions with young people and support Transnet in many other areas. So there are those areas where we collaborate quite strongly, and I believe that as the market demand strategy continues, with the support of our portfolio committees and other departments, we can definitely be able to do more. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. We have come to the end of the interaction, Transnet. We would like to wish you good luck in this MDF and also the arrest of the death. What do you call it? Death camp. That we really appreciate if you can just arrest it. It is in our interest as a country and as a people of South Africa. And thank you very much. We'll see you next time. In particular, in around the issue I faced with the food growers. Okay, thank you. Ravi and Rice, thank you very much. And we'll see you when we come to Transnet.